Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Old Testament reading, in particular these words, "Take care lest you forget the Lord. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you." This is our text. This year for our Lenten season, the topic and the theme is the law of God, especially the second table of the commandments, the fourth through tenth commandments. The law of God, as we just sang, is good and wise, and each of these commandments is good and wise. Today the focus is on the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. But I'd like to enter into it through these words that we heard from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God through Moses speaks to the people and encourages them as they get ready to enter the promised land to stay steadfast in holding to his words, his promises, and his commandments. Now, I must say about this text from Deuteronomy and most of the texts of Deuteronomy, I find them pretty discouraging. That's not why I chose it for Ash Wednesday, though. Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent doesn't need to be a particularly gloomy season. The best description I've ever heard for the Lenten season is when it's described as a bright sadness. The problem with this part of Deuteronomy is not even that Moses' words themselves are sad. In fact, his words are energetic and his words are moving. But what makes me sad is I know what's going to happen next, and it's not pretty. I know what's going to happen when the people of Israel enter that promised land. So hearing Moses' words is a bit like hearing a coach's super inspiring pep talk before the big game, when you know the team is going to get totally annihilated. And I mean totally annihilated. Jerusalem, the capital city, is eventually going to be sacked. The temple will be leveled, destroyed. The last thing the last king in the line of David sees before his eyes are plucked out and he's taken into exile, the last thing he sees is the execution of his sons. And there's no sweet comeback. There's no silver lining in this. Now, I know Moses comes way, way before all of that. But as we look back, it seems that everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. Think again about what Moses said, warning them. When life is good and there's material prosperity and peace, take care lest you forget the Lord. And they forgot him. It's the Lord your God you shall fear. But they didn't. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. But they served and swore by others. You shall not go after other gods. And they did go after other gods, after the gods of the people around them. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Oh, he is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you. And boy, was it kindled. And you say, how did Israel get there? How did they forget the Lord? How did they, after that amazing, unforgettable rescue out of Egypt, how did they forget? But lately, I feel like I've been asked a pretty similar question, I think by some of you. How did it get to this? How did we get here? This political discord and social rancor that we see all around us, this violence and abuse and porn culture, the deadly coronavirus and flu season, what seems like the total breakdown of marriage, family, sexuality, and gender. Thousand aborted children, aborted at a facility that I prayed across from. Many times. There's a growing lament and concern about our society and where we're at. And of course, we can say that's obviously what happens when the fear and love of God grow cold. That's what happens when faith withers and dies. That's what happens when his name is dishonored and his word is despised. These things have consequences, not just for our relationship with God, but also for our relationship with others and our life in this world. I think the key may be in another part of what Moses said there. As he was telling the people, the adults who were listening, he said, "The commandments, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord commanded that the Lord commanded me to teach the people are addressed to you and to your son and your son's sons." 3 generations. Maybe that's the clue. Moses gave them the creed and confession of his people, the Shema. The words you hear are a local Pharisee, Ed Schaefer, recite in Living Nativity. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit at home and when you go out and at night and in the morning, and put them on your hands and between your eyes and at the entrances of your homes." God's word, his commandments, were meant to saturate the lives of his people, and they're meant to saturate our lives as well. And while it starts with the breakdown of those first 3 commandments, it goes haywire with the breakdown of the 4th commandment. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you." What happened in Israel? What's happening among us? People despise and mock authorities instead of praying for them. They hate to be governed and told what to do. I hate to be governed and told what to do. They are disobedient, insolent, sullen. Children towards parents, youth toward adults. They are rude to teachers. They fight their superiors. They ignore and thumb their nose at the things they've been taught by their spiritual leaders. And it cuts the other way, too. There's the failure of parents, both fathers and mothers, to fulfill their God-given task, not only to provide for and protect their children, plenty of failures there, but also to nurture their children in the faith. There's the failure of spiritual leadership, of pastors and other Christians to teach the faith. There's the failure of our authorities and rulers to make just laws and administer them properly. And what community can survive in a world like that? God gave us parents and other authorities to protect us against the breaking in of this chaos. We were placed into these orders for our good. The 4th commandment is meant to guard, safeguard, and protect us. And when that gets thrown out, what further protection do we have? The order and peace established by God is at stake. That's what we lose when we lose the 4th commandment, when we forget the Lord our God. For our failures of the 4th commandment, from below and from above. Now, I know the 4th commandment won't lead us to heaven. It won't even lead us to heaven on earth, but it sure does make life on earth a bit better. Our God is a jealous God, and he will not be mocked, not in his own person, and not as he comes to us through parents and other authorities. Surely his anger is kindled. So how do we deal with this mess, with the 4th commandment that's not just broken, but absolutely shattered? It starts with repentance. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Or as St. Paul said today in our 2nd reading, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And now I remember how it ends. Not with the total annihilation of Israel, not with hell and damnation for them, not for those who returned, not for those who repented. Everything that could go wrong, has gone wrong, and does go wrong, but one thing went right. God turned to me and to you, a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with me forever. The son obeyed his father's will, was born of virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill. He came to be our brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive. The brightness of Lent is the brightness of what we see at the end. It's the brightness of the cross shining from that deepest darkness. The Son who honored his Father, who chose his Father's will above his own, who took the cup and who drank the chaos and the judgment and the wrath to the very bitter bottom. And he did it for you. No matter how badly you've screwed up as an authority, no matter how badly you've been messed up by the authorities, no matter how terrible it may get, you have in Christ and through Christ a true Father in heaven, and you are his own dearly beloved children. The Son obeyed the Father's will, and he has taken us under his wings, under his arms, and called us his brothers and his sisters. His Father is your Father. Christ has reconciled you to the Father, which means that the jealousy we heard about doesn't oppose you any longer, but it protects you. The anger that we heard about, the wrath of God, no longer is leveled at you because it was leveled at him. And he still gives parents and other authorities, as broken as they may be. And he still serves us, forgiven sinners, through these broken vessels. And he still serves other sinners through us, broken vessels. And we believe that in all of it, he's working for our good. Even, no, especially, when we can't see it. Your Father in heaven knows and sees what you do. Even when the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, he knows. He sees when you give to the needy. He sees when you pray in secret. And he hears those prayers, your prayers, for parents and authorities and pastors and for everyone who is committed to your care. He sees your fasting, even when no one else can see it. He is the Lord your God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives the promised Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, for me, that makes it a whole lot less sad and a whole lot more bright. And now we take up the sign of the cross, black and ashy as it is, and we pick up that fourth commandment too, praying that our Father in heaven would set our hearts to obey this and all the other commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.